We're through 60 minutes and beyond. Live from the Hot Stove Lounge, this is the Flames Talk Postgame Show. Now available on Apple and Spotify. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Following a preseason win number 3 for the Calgary Flames. Your final score here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Flames 4, Oilers nothing, as we welcome you to our Flames Talk Postgame Show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And let's go immediately to the Flames locker room right now and check in with Flames forward Tyler Toffoli, who joins us after this victory. Tyler, a pretty solid outing for your group, all things considered. Seemed like you controlled it for most of this game. What'd you make of this preseason affair tonight?
Yeah, I thought we did a better job than our first game. I thought we kind of built off that and came out hard. Obviously, we were playing against a younger lineup, and we wanted to jump on them early, and I thought we put the pressure on right away.
Tyler, you've been in this league a long time. You know exactly what you need to get ready for the regular season. What are you trying to accomplish? What's important for you in these preseason games?
Just trying to get my hands, my feet, everything kind of working in sync and getting to the game I want to play. It's I think we got 3-4 more games here and just trying to get up to speed and get ready for the season.
How has it been with your line mates? What's it been like so far playing with Elias and Jonathan?
Yeah, I thought, like I said, today we were much better than our first game together. We had some really good opportunities, and I think if we just keep building, finish our opportunities. I know for myself, I had 3 or 4 really good looks, and I think we all kind of wanted to put one in, and I think we're going to just keep working here.
In terms of playing with a playmaker like Jonathan, what are some of the things that you've noticed in a couple of games now with him and some practices?
Yeah, I think I just want to get him the puck and kind of get open, because he's always looking, and he can make those plays. So I think the more we play with each other, the more we practice and play as a team throughout the lineup, I think it's going to get better.
And a final thought for you, Tyler. Now we're into the second half of the preseason. In your experience, how do things ramp up in the final 3 or 4 preseason games as we move to the start of the season?
Yeah, I think the last 3 games usually ends up being pretty much every team's full lineup. So I think it's going to be a challenge for us to get up to speed and get going. I think the first 2 games here, for myself, we played against younger lineups, so it's going to get tougher, and I think we just got to get ready and keep working hard in practice and bring that into games.
Tyler, thanks for doing this. Good luck as camp goes along.
Thank you, guys.
That's Tyler Toffoli postgame following a 4-0 Flames win over the Edmonton Oilers here from the Flames dressing room to kick things off on our Flames Talk postgame show. My name is Pat Steinberg, around the table with Peter Labardius and Derek Wills. You can get us on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and sportsnet.ca/960. So lots to dig into, Lou. The Flames put lots of pucks towards a couple of Oilers goaltenders. They seem to control a younger group, and they come away with a 4-0 victory. It's funny because you said it, I think, late in the second period, the Kadri line had some really good shifts, and the Lindholm line seemed like they couldn't buy a goal tonight. All the offense, with all that firepower out there, all the offense was coming through the first 40 minutes from bottom six and the bottom pairing, but they got it done, and it was pretty cool to see some of the guys get on the scoreboard tonight.
Well, it most certainly was, and you know, I really have to tip my cap to the line of Bishop McLean and Brett Sutter. They won the majority of their shifts tonight. They were in on a couple of goals, and that's, you know, that's really good to see. They're not going to be here come opening night, but they couldn't do much more with the minutes. It was just a game. I like the pace that the Flames played with much better than, you know, certainly last night. It's not even comparable. And even from what I saw on Sunday. And, you know, every week here you're trying to build, and, you know, Tyler put it right. At some point later in the preseason, you're not going to play against the lineups. Everything right now, and we're going to see it again. Edmonton's going to play all their gunners on Friday, and Calgary won't. So I liked what I saw. Kadri was certainly early, flying around all over the place. I'm more encouraged, Pat, all the time, that this is going to be a really good hockey team.
What you want to see in the preseason is progression, especially when you have a team that is in a window to win like the Flames are. And as we've talked about, going into training camp, throughout training camp and the preseason, there aren't a lot of spots up for grabs. So you want to see the group as a whole progress. And you want to see guys who are battling to get noticed, whether that be to get a contract or to stay in the NHL and not get sent down to the AHL, or to just put themselves on the radar in case somebody gets hurt and the Flames need to call somebody up from the Wranglers. I think we saw all of those things for the Flames tonight. I think the team took a step. I think the guys who are battling to get noticed, and how often do we talk about the quote-unquote fourth line tonight and how good those guys were? They played well. Michael Stone, another goal and an assist tonight. He's battling to be the 6-7 guy in defense. He played well. So coming off a night in Seattle where I didn't like the team game. Now, again, it was the Flames B squad versus the Kraken A squad, or at least close to B and close to A. What I wanted to see last night, I didn't come away from that game thinking, yeah, I saw that. What I wanted to see tonight, I saw tonight. And that's, I think, a good sign for the Flames individually and collectively.
Lots to dive into individually. Let's start on our marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. Lou and I focused on the debut of Nazem Kadri in this game tonight. He plays his first preseason game as a member of the Flames. Comes away with an assist on the Mackenzie Weaker dagger late in the third period. Was really buzzing, Derek, in period number one. Had some opportunities. Loved him on that first power play the Flames had where they essentially spent all 2 minutes in the offensive zone. What do we make of, again, It's game number one, so I don't think we're making any definitive judgments, and we all know what to expect from number 91. But Nazem Kadri's first preseason game, impressions from you?
I thought he was fantastic in the first period. I mean, just shot out of a cannon. Chance after chance after chance. Terrific without the puck. Fantastic with the puck. I didn't like that line as a whole quite as much in the second period, but then I thought in the third period they ramped it right back up again. Loved them on the first power play, loved them on the third power play. Even though they didn't score a power play goal tonight, I thought they were dangerous on two of the three power plays. The second one, not so much. Just couldn't seem to get things synced up. But he is he's such a good player. He's been such a thorn in the Flames' side for so many seasons. It's just almost a relief to have him wearing the red, yellow, and white of the Flames, because now he's going to be a pain in the butt to 31 other NHL teams, especially the one the Flames played tonight.
Well, I think he's a team changer. He makes this team so much better than it's been. I don't even know how to start. And he, like Derek said, he was shot out of a cannon. I think he skates a lot better than people might give him credit for. He is a tremendous center iceman, and they're very, very fortunate to have him. And just watching everything tonight from our great vantage point just makes me wish we were closer to opening day. That's all I can say. I want to see this team play when everybody's in and the opponents are in, and we're getting or the first two games, you can't really start with much better opponents or situations. So I'm a hard marker most of the time, but I like this team.
You know what I want to see, guys? I want to see Nazem Kadri and Andrew Mangiapane on a line together. That's something we haven't seen yet.
No.
Not in the game. We're going to see it. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
Yep.
I think that's going to be two-thirds of the Flames' second line. Don't know who's going to be on the other side of that line. But I just think that there's a lot of similarities in the way those two guys play. They can be a dog on a bone when they get in on the forecheck. I think they're going to be an absolute handful for other teams.
Yep. Ever since the Kadri signing, I've been hoping that that's what we're going to see. I think we will see it in the preseason.
Maybe you'll see it Monday.
And yeah. I think there's a decent chance we see it 2 weeks from tomorrow as well on opening night against
against
Colorado.
Yeah, I think
Colorado.
There's a very good chance.
I was saying this with Vickers on Flames Talk a couple days ago. Those two guys, to me, like they were made to play with one another.
Yeah.
I just think there's so many similarities and so many compliments to one another's game. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, sometimes you think things and they don't end up transpiring the way you thought they would, but I think there's a really good chance that could be a really strong match, and then you've got the option to put who you want with them and find kind of that third guy. But in a league that so many people talk about forward pairings, I think that one could be really, really good.
I really enjoyed watching some of the new guys tonight, including number 10. It's funny because for 8 years, how many times did we look at each other when Johnny Gaudreau did something crazy and just kind of a blank stare in our face? Did we just see what we think we just saw? Jonathan Huberto is a much different player. He's way more cerebral. But how many moments were there tonight, Lou, where I looked over at you and I'm like, did you just see what I just saw? I think that's your old line. But like some of the passes the guy made, I'm convinced he's got eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah, I think that line was, can you believe what we saw? But that was good.
That was the Mika Kiprusoff scorpion save, I believe.
No, that was not it.
That weird goal.
That was the Stefan.
That was the empty netter, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so
the play he makes in the third where he gets to center ice just about 3 feet on the Flames side of the red line, he throws his shoulder into the Oiler checker and then spins around and finds Rooney coming off the bench with speed in the middle of the ice and threw it. Like, you couldn't have gone there and handed it to him in a better spot. Like, it's one of those, oh my goodness. And you know, it's even little things. And he's not even there yet. Because he's had some opportunities in both games. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll be mad that he didn't make a few more plays. But whether it's on the power play or 5-on-5, just little touch. Two-footers here. You know, finding guys. I can't wait to watch this guy play every single game.
Okay, a few other things that wanted to touch on. We talked in the pregame show, Lou, about the pairing of Nikita Zadorov and Mackenzie Weegar. Weegar had a whale of a game and was a real standout in this one. Scores the goal late to kind of punctuate it. He and Zadorov were a pairing all night long. I know you're a big fan of Uyghur's game. I guess on him and on the pairing, your observations.
I thought the pairing was very good. I never, ever really looked down from our prospect site and thought, you know, they're out of position or they're not connecting. And
there was the one communication breakdown that led to the breakaway that wasn't?
Yeah, when they got caught.
Yeah,
and
that
then,
was the only
right,
one.
Right, and then Weegar goes back and just makes a sensational recovery, chips the puck off the stick, doesn't take a penalty. I thought he might have been the best player in the game tonight, by the way, talking about Mackenzie. And, you know, if Nikita is solid, stays within himself, heavy and hard to play against, you heard when the coach signals you out, not easy for that to happen, but he likes Zadorov's camp, and that's more than good enough for me.
You know who Mackenzie Weegar reminds me a little bit of? Mark Giordano. Just his ability to recover, never gives up on a play, reads the play really well and knows when to jump up into the rush. I see some similarities there. And the other thing that really jumped out to me listening to Daryl Sutter postgame tonight, he went out of his way, and he didn't call him by his name. He called him Z. But talked about what a strong start to training camp and the preseason Nikita Zadorov has had. Now remember, less than a year ago, this is the same head coach that made him a healthy scratch because he didn't like his inconsistency early in the regular season. Now, him and Eric Branson, I thought, were a fantastic third pairing for the Flames once they got kind of settled in. But a really strong start for Nikita Zadorov, and you kind of wonder what the pairings are going to look like come October 13th.
We are breaking down a 4-0 Flames win over the Edmonton Oilers here on your Flames Talk postgame show with Derek Wills and Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg, and now we welcome in, just make sure I get the right mic here, we welcome in Flames associate coach Kirk Muller with us on the Flames Talk postgame show as well. Kirk, how would you assess the effort out there tonight for your group?
Well, I think we're happy. I mean, it's you know, you get a lot of veterans into the lineup right now, and you know, if you played the other night, but it takes a few games to get the timing and the pace and all that. So, I you know, you look at little things and all that, and you see the guys like Huberto and Weber that come in and Weegar, what we brought them in for, and their skill level, their competitive level and all that just kept getting, you know, better and better as the game went on. But I think we just got to assess the things that we're hoping to see from different personnel.
Is it hard to assess those types of games, Kirk, when the lineups have a pretty good chunk of disparity?
Well, I think, you know, two things. I think we look at, like we're saying, like combinations of, you know, chemistry between
right.
players, D partners, that type of thing, and then stuff that we've been in, you know, working on with our systems and all that. So for us, it's kind of a measuring of, you know, what things that we can work on and get better at. And so we will take, you know, clips like from tonight's game, take it into the next few days, you know, incorporate it into practices and build each game after game. So it's a step-by-step process, right? So we don't really look at the, you know, the competition or the competitor, what kind of lineup they put. It's more how can we get better as individuals, combinations, and, you know, instill our system and get better at it.
I thought you played way faster tonight. Is that fair?
Yeah, we did at times, yeah. you know, there's times we didn't, but that's you can't replace games, right?
No.
So you can practice and go through the process and all that, but and especially the older guys, you got two or three games under your belt till you get that pace going and the conditioning of a game, you know, and I think there are times in the third period, I think we kind of picked it up and you can see the chemistry, you know, a little more natural. New guys working with each other, so that's what we're kind of you know observing.
After last night's game in Seattle against the Kraken, kind of went around the table. Anybody jump out at you tonight? And we're all like, not really. Tonight, it's the opposite of that for me. So many guys jumped out in a positive way, but do you have a kind of a short list as far as positive reviews tonight?
Well, I was saying in there like. You know, when you look at Huberto, I don't know if you guys agree, but he reminds me so much of Hawerchuk. You know, when you look at the way he, I mean, there's a lot of talented playmaking players over the years and all that, but, you know, in different styles, beat your speed and different stuff. But when you really watch the dynamic of how he can make a play through people and the way he changes the angles with his hands, and you better be ready when you play with him because he's got great vision and he makes plays that, you know, unexpectedly. But I was just saying, man, he reminds me a lot of Dale in a lot of ways of the way he makes those type of plays.
That's a pretty significant compliment there.
Wow, well, you know what? I know.
That guy was pretty good.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, you know, it just struck me, you know, watch him, that's the type of scenario, you know. But, you know, or, you know, look at our fourth line tonight, you know, guys that come to the new guys. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the top guys and all that, but. You know, Bishop and McLean, and you know, Brett's not kind of a new guy to the organization in a certain way, but you know, so those guys, you know, they bring different stuff that way too. So goaltending's been really strong so far in camp. The three goalies have been playing have been really strong there. So we're just gonna keep building.
Kirk Muller, associate coach of the Flames, with us on your Flames Talk postgame show. I guess for you would have been the first game that you've coached in with being able to watch Mackenzie Weegar because he didn't go with you to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. You've seen him in practices. You're familiar with him as a player. But in game action, being able to coach him, what jumped off the page at you tonight?
Well, competitive, engage in the games, great skill level, great skating ability, and makes things happen, you know. And he's got the ability to join the rush. You saw a few times off of faceoffs, he just exploded out. So he likes to be that fourth man joining, and you know, he's good defensively because of his skating ability. He closes hard on people, and that's quite a combination of a lot of things that he brings to the table.
Daryl Sutter talked a little bit tonight in his postgame address about Nikita Zadorov and feeling like he's off to a good start. How have you felt about what you've seen from big number 16?
Well, Big Z even said it, you know. Well, he got some power play time the other night, so I said instead of Z, he's now PP, you know. So he's, he said himself. He goes, I played better first two games of the exhibition games than I did a year ago, and I think he's come a long way in terms of, who he is as a player, identifying who he is. He's come a long way in 1 year. So he's still growing. He's still got a lot of upscale in different areas, but he's a big body that's playing the game within his limitations. And when he does that, you know, we all love to have those big defensemen like that because they're hard to play against.
Four preseason games down, four preseason games to go before your regular season opener against the Avalanche, October 13th. What do you want to see in those last four games, Kirk?
I honestly, we do have another level, so I think our pace is one thing that we got to keep pushing. You know, it's this time of season, it's we still got to make plays quicker. You know, and we got to execute. We got to get a little bit more mindset of areas in the offensive zone of creating offense that way. I think we're, I know we nitpick, but it's, our team is built on, checking and being strong and not giving up much and then making that next play and then going with a high pace and create offense. So I think it's connecting it all so that we look like a team that we're in sync. And then, of course, getting chemistry with the guys and the partners and that. So we got a lot of work to do still. We got special teams we haven't even touched on yet too much. So we got a lot of work to do with that stuff as well.
Thank you, Kirk. Good luck on Friday. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Kirk Muller, Flames associate coach, joining us here on our Flames Talk post-game show after a 4-0 Flames win over the Edmonton Oilers. Calgary's now 3 out of 4 in their preseason. They've got four more games to go. Crazy to think the preseason now officially halfway done. Friday night in Edmonton is next up for the Calgary Flames. So, Kirk joining us live. Hey, you've had a pretty good role on your Flames Talk post-game show already, and lots more still to come. Phone lines, by the way, are open. We'll get to your thoughts at 403-240-4444 and on the text line 960-960 in a little bit. One thing we did not ask Kirk, but I wanted to throw around the table, like, Michael Stone's just doing it again. Like, here he is.
I love it. I do.
Two goals, three points in two preseason games. Got an OT winner in there. Look, I know that preseason points are very, like, they don't matter, but it's more the way that he plays. And it's a situation where, we were talking after Tuesday's game about three defensemen, Mackey, Melosh, Valimaki. Those are the three guys in the game that you're like, okay, where do they fit? Stone didn't play in that game. He played in this game, Derek, and he's right in that mix for that 6-7 spot on this blue line as well.
Absolutely, and I cheer for him because I know what he's been through on the ice and off the ice. We have seen firsthand what a great teammate he has been. Even when he's been a healthy scratch for weeks or months, he sits up there and cheers on his team and doesn't complain. And when he gets a chance to play, goes out there and plays his butt off. And, preseason points don't really matter, especially if you've got a spot locked up on the team. But if you're on a PTO, I think preseason points do matter. You know what matters more than preseason points? Regular season and postseason points. Last year, Michael Stone, despite missing most of the season as a healthy scratch, 2 goals and 6 points in 11 regular season games. 2 goals and 5 points in 9 postseason games. The guy just keeps on doing it. And it's not like he's a one-way guy and just puts points on the board and is poor defensively. You know, he's a big guy, strong guy, good at boxing out, can be tough to play against. Teams, whenever he winds up to take a shot, and more often than not, he's going to take that shot instead of making a pass or faking the shot. But, they kind of back off a little bit, which opens things up a little bit for him and his teammates offensively. But, I promised I would do this earlier, so I'll do it now since I forgot. So Michael Stone's been around for a while. We all know that. Acquired from the Coyotes in February of 2017. Played well. Signed a 3-year contract extension for $10.5 million in June of 2017. Was then bought out of that contract in January of 2021. And then signed a 1-year deal for $700,000. Bought out of that contract August 2019. Signed a 1-year deal for $700,000 in September of 2019. And then signed a 1-year deal for $700,000 in January of 2021. And then another 1-year deal for $750,000 in September of 2021. And then signed a PTO in September of 2022. So when we talk about this being the 11 millionth coming of Michael Stone, we're not all that far off. But there's a reason that they keep bringing him back, because they know exactly what they're going to get from the guy. Clearly, he loves Calgary. Clearly, he loves the Flames organization. I kind of wonder if there might be a plan down the road to shift him into player development or coaching or something along those lines. I'm a big fan of the guy as a person, big fan of the guy as a player. And if he's not going to be in your top six, I think he's a perfect number 7.
Well, he's not hurting his causes. He and his partner, Soloviev, tonight were plus +7.
That's pretty good.
Stone was 3, and the kid was 4.
2 assists for
He was pretty good tonight.
And he
well.
Had good moments, yeah. too. No, I mean, I don't know what else you can say. I can't add anything to that. The only thing I add is my favorite line about him. When he's on the ice, he gives you, more often than not, quality professional minutes. And the only other thing I would throw in is this. I think the playoffs and late in the regular season have helped his offensive confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a long time in games, he was hesitant to get pucks to the net or take that big shot. And tonight, his best decision was on Brett Sutter's opening goal of the game. Instead of hammering it, he feathered it through, got it to the net, saw that there was traffic there, turned into an assist in the game's first goal. You know, he's reminded me more now than he has since his early days in Arizona is the guy that I saw coming out of junior where, you know, the 1 year he scored, I think it was 23. So it's been a neat thing to watch.
So really, it's an interesting dilemma they've got. They've got Mackey, who's been really good and waiver eligible for the first time. Yeah, I don't know if you're, you know, super. I don't know how keen you are losing him on waivers. Milosh has been a solid add, and then you've got Stone on a PTO with some flexibility there, and he clearly wants to stay. I'm curious how they manage the situation on the blue line as they move towards. They got 2 weeks to figure it out, so lots of time to figure that side of stuff out. Okay, last individual guy that we talked about in the pregame show. I just wanted to get a thought on that. I enjoyed watching Rooney play, Lou. I thought he was really solid centering that line with Lucic and Lewis.
What I really like is he adds speed to your lineup. And he used that speed really effectively all night, whether it's in back pressure or getting in on the forecheck. You know, when they signed him in the summertime, he's a guy that going back to his days, Pat, in New Jersey, I remember the first time being at Prudential and watching him and didn't know very much about him at that point in time. But it was funny that was a night two guys that I didn't know very much about kind of stuck out. And I think it was the same night. Maybe it was a different year. But one night I remember thinking this Blake Coleman, he skates around and moves and gets some things done. And I've always kind of liked Kevin Rooney. He plays a spark, adds speed. And I think he's going to be a big upgrade from what they've had in that position.
Yeah, and I had a great chat with him this morning. You were standing there, Lou, and really well-spoken guy, really intelligent, talked about how excited he was to join a Flames team that is in a window to win because that's kind of where his head is at this stage of his career. And I think he's going to upgrade their fourth line. And if the Flames have a fourth line of Kevin Rooney, Milan Lucic, and they can go a couple of different ways with who they have on their fourth line, but I'd put Trevor Lewis on the right side of that line because you know, he's a pretty good face-off guy, so you can put him in for some draws on his strong side. I think that's going to be a tough line to play against, even if you got Brett Ritchie on that fourth line. He's not an easy guy to play against. Mm-hmm. So Flames do have some depth at that position, but kind of at that level. The fourth line of their lineup, you can maybe bump a guy up to the third line if you have to. But, Kevin Rooney, a nice ad. Good bloodlines. His Uncle Steve played in the league for 5 years, won a Stanley Cup with the Canadiens back in 1986. Doing some digging on him. He actually played on that Providence College Friars NCAA championship team with all those former Flames prospects, Mark Jankowski and John Gillies and John Gilmore. So he's a nice ad. He's excited to be here, and I think he could turn into a fan favorite.
Okay, so 4-0 your final score. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. Flames beat the Edmonton Oilers here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Derek Wills, Peter Labardius, my name is Pat Steinberg. Save of the Game Time, brought to you by Shane Holmes. Second shared shutout of the preseason on Sunday. Shared shutout for Vladar and Dansk. And tonight, shared shutout for Jacob Markstrom and Dustin Wolf. And tonight's Save of the Game comes from Dustin Wolf in period number 3.
Battle for it along the end boards, and it's picked up in the near corner by Janmark again. He drops it. Now Barry winds and fires a shot, and Wolf, with Shore right in his face, makes a terrific stop and holds on.
combined with Jacob Markstrom. That's one of the 21 saves made by both those goaltenders tonight. And Dustin Wolf delivers tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com. The better way to build, Derek, Kirk just mentioned it. Tough to fault goaltending so far through four preseason games. Wolf has been good in his, what, eight periods. Markstrom's played four, allowed zero goals. Vladar, we've talked about, and even Oscar Dansk looked okay in the very limited work. Like they've, it's the preseason. I get all that, but that's definitely something that you would like to, in the preseason, you'd like to have that nice and shored up if you could, and it's been very solid halfway through.
100%. Like to see those two guys get the rust off, and clearly they've done it. And it goes beyond just the two guys who are going to be with the Flames. Of course, Jacob Markstrom and Dan Vladar, and I think they've got one of the top goaltending tandems in the league based on what we saw last season when Jacob Markstrom was runner-up for the Vezina Trophy, and Dan Vladar proved that he is a strong number two goaltender in his first full NHL season. He's a year older. He's a year more experienced, and based on what I've seen from Dan Vladar in a couple of preseason games, his confidence is up. You know, there's no questions about whether or not he belongs in this league anymore, and there were prior to last season. Mm-hmm. He had played five games in the NHL prior to last season. So, yeah, they've got a good 1-2 punch at the NHL level, and I think they're going to have a really good 1-2 punch at the AHL level as well. You know, we didn't get to watch that game in Vancouver on Sunday because it was a split squad game. Flames B team played against the Canucks A team and won 3-2 in overtime. And everybody that I've talked to that was at Rogers Arena said, you know, Dustin Wolf was a big part of that win, you know, because he gave up two goals against most of the Canucks' top players. You know, you fast forward to last night, against the Flames B squad against the Kraken A squad at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. And I thought that Dan Vladar was once again one of the Flames' best players, maybe their best player in what was a 3-0 loss. And then tonight, Jacob Markstrom comes in and looks like Jacob, exactly what we expected from him. And then Dustin Wolf comes in the third period, and, you know, he had a handful of tough saves to make. And, you know, he's not a big goaltender. Jacob's 6'6", 206. Dustin's 6'1", 156. One of the smallest goaltenders in the AHL or the NHL. But it's, you talked about his hockey IQ, Lou. He's so smart, and he finds ways to make himself look big. The Shane Holmes save of the game that we just heard comes out to the top of his crease and takes as much of the net away as he can. And he had a player draped on his back when he made that save. So, you know, Dustin Wolf as the 214th overall pick in 2019, last goaltender taken, fourth last player selected in that draft. He's an underdog. I think he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I think it's one of the things that drives him. He was the best goaltender in the AHL as a rookie last season. And with the Flames' depth and goal, it might take him a while to get to the NHL, but even though he's an underdog, it would actually surprise me at this point if he didn't find a way to play in this league at some point in time.
The greatest goaltending test of the preseason will come up on Friday.
Yeah. I wonder who plays.
I'm going to guess it's going to be Vladar and probably the whole way again.
Yep.
And then you've got Oscar Dansk, you know, a guy who's got some NHL experience and looked pretty good the other night, too.
You do, but the pecking order is pretty simple. You need to get Jacob is probably three, and you need to give Vladar three or four, because when the season starts, you're at home a lot. The games are somewhat spread out. So, you know, those are the needs. And the only thing I'd add about Dustin Wolf is, you know, he continues to do things that a guy his size in this day and age shouldn't.
Yep.
And it's all about how smart he is, how technically sound he is. And I'm really going to enjoy the opportunity now being in the same city as an American Hockey League team. I'll be excited to watch him on a way more regular basis than I've ever had before. Because my guess is when you do that, you're going to appreciate him even more than I already ever have.
Flames Talk postgame on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Time to select tonight's player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. Lou, which way are you leaning tonight?
You know, there's lots of different ways to go. I'd give honorable mention to Clark Bishop. Played nine games last year, and in Ottawa. I really thought that line was dynamite. They won the majority of their shifts. You know, there were a lot of guys, Pat, that played hard tonight. I'm actually going to go with Uyghur. I thought he was arguably the best guy on the ice, and, you know, he showed more so tonight than even on Sunday why I think he's going to make this team a legitimate contender in the National Hockey League. He's smart. He got up on the rush. He uses that speed to close gaps. He's not afraid to lean on you. Made himself available on his goal. I thought he was an excellent player tonight.
And that is your Player with Heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. All right, gentlemen. I think that we've covered it all. I don't even know if we need to do final thoughts.
Anything, I'm good. I got a basketball game to get zeroed in on.
Okay, you go do that, Lou. Okay. It's on our screen right now.
Yes, it is.
I've got a glass of wine waiting for me at home.
Yeah, well, it's okay. I'll enjoy the basketball, I hope, as much as you enjoy your wine.
Bye, boys.
Bye.
Good night, Pat.
Peter Labardius, Derek Wills signing off on your Flames Talk post-game show, but we've got lots more to get to. But how about Nazem Kadri making his Calgary Flames preseason debut, picks up an assist in his preseason debut, and he spoke post-game following Calgary's 4-0 win.
It's always nice to get a win, and you know, I think we could definitely still be a little bit sharper, but, I mean, hey, it's preseason. You got to shake some cobwebs out.
Give you a little comfort to have Michael Backlin on your wing there. I mean, two veterans who certainly can help ease you in.
For sure. No, I always appreciate the way he played, responsible and makes, not the flashiest plays, but he's always making a great play. So, great first pass. It's always nice to have a guy like that, thinks the game well.
Shake some cobwebs out is an interesting way to put it. Can you just describe over 60 minutes how you kind of start to get back in the groove?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you're just kind of used to summer skates, and now you're really trying to dial in the detail. And it's kind of expected, right? You're shaking some rust off, and, no one's expecting to be mid-season form in September. So we're going to continue to just, work at it and get better each day.
Did the lungs burn a little bit? Jonathan Huberdeau said after the first one, the altitude got him a little bit. Now
you're
familiar with that a little bit more from Colorado.
Yeah, no, I was actually felt pretty good out there. I mean, we had a pretty extended power play there in the first period that, sometimes can, you get you in the red and you're sucking wind a little bit after that. But, for the most part, felt pretty good. We've been skating hard for the last couple of weeks, so, felt pretty good out there.
Are you driving the net with the same force, in a game like this first preseason versus, say, game 65 in the regular season? How do you strike that balance?
Well, I think it's more of a feel-out process, right? We're all relatively new, with each other, and I think just kind of feeling everybody out, seeing what everyone's tendencies are, and it takes a little time to get familiar with each other. But for the most part, hey, win's a win. I think we dominated that game.
Did you tell Coleman if he hit the net on the first shift, that would have been a pretty good way to get started? Here?
Yeah, I thought he actually had him. I think if he would have hit the net, I'd have to see it again. But, certainly wanted to be aggressive right out of the gate. And, we almost potted one first shift there.
I was going to ask you just the power play. You're obviously not going to have a ton of time to work on it at training camp, but nice to see. You mentioned that extended one. I think you had almost the entire 2 minutes there in that first one. But just an opportunity to kind of work it around and get a feel for it, maybe.
For sure. Like I said, again, I mean, it's guys playing different positions. That's the first time we've all been on the ice really at the same time against, an opposing team or any sort of pressure. So, taking that into consideration, I think it, we had some good opportunities. And, we're only going to get sharper. We're great players, and, we're going to make sharp plays. But I think it takes a little bit of time to find that chemistry.
That is Nazem Kadri post-game following tonight's 4-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. Kadri with an assist in his preseason debut as a member of the Calgary Flames. Okay, phone numbers 403-240-4444. Text line 960-960. Let's jump in on the text line, starting with Stu in Tuscany. Says Patty, always a blessed evening when the Flames whoop the Oilers. Just beautiful. Huberto, Uyghur, Kadri, and Wolf all with spicy games, respectively. Love to see it. With all that said, what on earth has prevented Stone from breaking the top six permanently? The dude's been nothing but a super gremlin game, game in, game out, gobbling up and winning loose pucks literally every single battle he's in. He's averaged 21 games a season over the last 3 years, and it's nothing but positive results every time he's in. For my money, I'd slot him in over Zadorov, no questions asked, and I know he's having a good preseason. Why hasn't he been made a permanent top six? Go Flames, go. That comes from Stu in Tuscany. Well, a few things affect the average of games. The pandemic, that didn't help. The blood clot, that didn't help. In this sense, though, I just think it's been a pretty deep blue line. And Gudbranson and Zadorov were such a good pair last year, it was tough to crack it. And we'll see this year. I mean, bring in, they've got, I mean, I don't think he should, I don't think that it's Zadorov that he'd be in over. One's a left shot, one's a right shot. It's more a matter of whether the Flames see him as an everyday guy. And I think that if Michael Stone was an everyday guy, I think he'd be fine. And he's been really solid over the last couple of years. But I think it's more a measure of just how deep the blue line is. And as much as teams like to say it, contracts come into it. When you've got guys at X millions of dollars and a guy on a PTO that absolutely plays in, or a guy at NHL minimum that absolutely plays in. But he's been nothing but a good soldier. He knows his role. We'll hear from Michael Stone in just a few minutes. But yeah, I think he's got a chance, a solid chance of getting a contract out of this camp. He hasn't hurt his cause to get a contract out of this camp. But the reason why he hasn't cracked the top six, well, last year the Flames had the most continuity amongst any team in the NHL on their three pairings, and they were all really good. Anderson Hanifin, Tanev Shillington, Gudbranson, and Zadorov, they were all really good in their roles last year. It was just tough to crack. And that wasn't a knock on Stone, who was the seven for a good chunk of the year. It just was what it was. And when they needed him in the postseason, he stepped up. And we'll see. Maybe he is one of the six this year, and if that's the case, that's awesome. And if he's not, you know that he'll be just fine in whatever role he plays. This from Tyler says, Patty, are you at all nervous about Toffoli this season when he misses a wide-open net like that? I realize it's only the preseason, but do you believe he's on the downhill side of his career? Well, I guess there's two questions there. Am I worried, and do I believe he's on the downhill side of his career? Probably. Just based on age and just based on average, he probably is. But that doesn't mean I'm worried about him for the season. And what I mean by that is I think Toffoli's got a decent chance of being in and around that 20-25 range if he is playing on the line he's playing with this year. I haven't minded Toffoli at all in the preseason. Yeah, I may have missed that open net, but it was his second game. A lot of timing still coming back. You're trying to – I think there's a lot of feeling out Jonathan Huberto going around right now too, especially on that line. Like, we're talking about a guy who passes pucks a whole lot differently than Johnny Gaudreau did, and or other guys they've played with. It's a brand new elite playmaker you're playing with, and it's just like you got to be ready for passes being on your tape. And I think there's going to be a bit of an adjustment period in a good way, and I think come a few games into the regular season, I'm not really worried about that. So am I worried about Tyler Toffoli? No, I'm actually quite optimistic about the season he could potentially has. This says, unless the Sutter line and the young defenseman make the team, this is not the A team. It's a preseason game, but still a game, and the Flames beat the Oilers, and that makes me happy. A few texts from the same number I'll read. This says, Flames should wait until after the waiver window to sign Stone because he won't clear waivers. Neither will Rizicka, Phillips, Valimaki, or Mackey. And this says, Dustin Wolf's awesome. His calm, cool, and confident demeanor in net is a confidence builder for a team. I'm not trying to say that this is not disparaging to any of the players that are listed, but at the beginning of the year, when players go on waivers, very rarely do multiple guys from the same team get claimed. In fact, there might be one or two claims, two or three claims of the 100-plus that go on waivers right before the start of the regular season, right before that roster cutdown day. Could one of those guys get claimed? Sure. I'm not sitting there saying that it's, you know, really likely because it's such a small percentage of guys, but if they were to put Mackey on waivers, yeah, I think that there's a chance he could get claimed. Rizicka, maybe, just because I think teams would be intrigued by the package that he brings to the table. I'm not so sure about the other guys you named. So I think that it's something that they absolutely will take into account. Valimaki, Mackey, Rizicka are all waiver eligible for the first time. Doesn't mean they're all going to get claimed. In fact, almost, like, extremely unlikely multiple of those guys get claimed. Not completely out of the question, but it just doesn't happen very often because there's also four and five and six other players of the same ilk on waivers from other teams, and then there's all of what goes into claiming a player on waivers. Has to be on your NHL roster for a month, all that type of stuff. As for signing Stone, I wonder how that's going to play out because of the waiver situation. I think Mackey's the guy that I'd be most worried about losing if he were to go on waivers. And if that's the case, you know, how much, and you've got a guy in Michael Stone who clearly wants to be here. Is there, and I don't know, I have no idea if Michael would go for this, but if you're looking at Michael as the 7-8 defenseman on the team, do you sign him to an American League deal, have him playing in the same city with the Wranglers, get him some games in, have it be a high American League number, like 4, 450, something in that range, and then if when you need him, then you sign him to an NHL two-way deal? I don't know. That could be an option. Maybe he's on the top six when the damn season starts in 2 weeks. I don't know. I think that there's a lot of possibilities that could go into how Michael Stone could fit, I guess is the point that I'm trying to make. This says, Sutter says defense is being picked based on performance. So is that saying that, does that mean that Stone is a lock for opening night? It should, but it never does for Stone. I don't get it. If I was another team scouting, I'd be looking at getting Stone from the Flames. We'll miss him when he's gone. That comes from Scooter. I don't know, Scoot, because I think Michael wants to be in Calgary, and I think that the Flames know that, and I think that there is a little bit of an agreement there. Stone has made a home in Calgary. His wife here, his children are here. This is his home now, and I think if he can play in Calgary, he'll play. I believe there were offers. I believe there were opportunities, rather, elsewhere, and Calgary's the place that he'd like to be, and I think he's earned that much in his career to be able to do that. So I don't know if another team is an option. We'll see. Everything that we're led to believe is that, you know, Calgary's the place that he wants to be, and we'll see if he gets a contract out of it. This has nothing much to take from this game. Love the play of Uyghur. They need to sign him. We'll be interested to see how Friday goes with a better Edmonton roster. This says, how does Brett Sutter seem as a third-line winger? He seems to be playing well. Not that I think he lasts the season there, but I think he deserves a look after his first couple of preseason games. And this is no knock on Brett at all. It's been a really cool story, but I think that you can pen him in to start in the American League, and that's okay. They signed him to an American League deal, so they'd have to sign him to a contract and all that type of stuff. So it's an American League deal that he's on right now. So Sutter's going to start the year in the American League. But I think he's a nice option. He's a really nice guy to have down there. And who knows, if it goes swimmingly with the Wranglers, maybe he can get a NHL deal out of it. You know, that's what happened with Chris Kalanos a decade ago. He was signed to an American League deal, played really well in the American League, turned it into an NHL contract with the Flames. We'll see. But, yes, I don't believe that Sutter is in the mix right now, as cool as a story as it's been, and I don't think him as a third-line winger would be the spot either. What else we got here at 960-960? This says, Pat, I said this last season, lock up Stone. He's a perfect professional. Guy never misses a beat. And this says, trying to decide Zadorov jersey or Kadri, go Flames, go. Interesting. I think Zadorov would be more unique, but Kadri's here for 7 years. Do you want to go the unique play or do you want to go the longevity play? I'd probably say the safe bet's Kadri. No knock on Zadorov, but I'd say Kadri just because he committed 7 years to being here. You're pretty safe with that one. Good stuff on the text line. Remains open, 960-960. Get your text in if you want to talk this game against the Oilers. Camp as a whole, moving towards the regular season. It's all on the table for you as we go to the phone lines at 403-240-4444 and get our first phone calls of this Flames Talk post-game show, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Let's welcome Tony to Flames Talk and your post game show right now. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Pat, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. How was your summer?
It was good, man. It was really good.
Oh, right on, right on. Hey, it was a crazy summer, eh? We started off thinking we're going to rebuild, and now we're a contender again.
Yeah, it's that was the I don't get used to those. You don't get summers like that very often.
No, again. You know what? I think we're better. We got rid of a core that didn't do anything for us, really, other than regular season. I think we're better suited for playoff now. That's my opinion. I think, you know, we can
proof will be in the
now.
Pudding, but I'm kind of with you, man. Like, I think that there's a chance that they could be in a better spot, a strong chance.
Yes.
They could be a better team come playoff time. Now, it's got to happen. They've got to do it. But, you know, you bring in a guy like Kadri, you bring in a guy like Uyghur, you bring in a guy like Huberdeau. I think there's that opportunity. And this is not even a knock on Huberdeau because Jonathan's had his struggles in the playoffs before. But the big two from a playoff standpoint are Kadri and Uyghur to me. And Huberdeau's got lots to prove in that regard. But, yeah, I think that, you know, I think he can be a strong playoff player. Just hasn't gone as well as he'd probably like it at different times in the past. But to bring in a guy like Kadri, who just won the Stanley Cup and was a huge part of Avalanche playoff success over the last number of years, and I think Uyghur just makes their blue line that much deeper, that much better. So, yes, I do think they've got a better chance to be good in the playoffs if when they get there.
Yeah, because where did Johnny and Tkachuk, what did they do in the playoffs, really?
I agree.
To
Johnny's defense, he did score one of the most important goals of the last decade. He was pretty good in that Dallas series. Johnny has done good things in the playoffs. There's also been some struggles in the playoffs, but he was pretty good against Dallas.
I hope Brad learned his lesson now. So an all-star player, when they have 1 year left, the summer before, you give him a contract. He doesn't sign it, you trade him.
Yeah, they're trying with Uyghur, and I would be shocked if they went past the trade deadline if there was no contract. I think he's going to sign, though.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, but you know, Pat, I still think they need a top six winger, because you're going to need to beat a team like Edmonton with McDavid, and you're going to need three lines. You're not going to need on the fourth line. I know you need the toughest with Lucic, but you've got a strong with a couple of fast guys on that fourth line. But I still say, if we have to give up a D, because I think we're one of the top three D in the NHL. If we had to give up Hanifin for a top six winger, I would do that trade.
I just don't think you have to do it now.
Okay, I agree. You don't have to do it now, but in the season, see how things go, and maybe.
Yeah, I think you have months and months to figure out and see how things go, right? So
yeah, exactly.
I don't think you have to make that call right away.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's going to be a good year, I hope, and hopefully these guys they brought in do us good, and they have a good season. I hope so.
I think that you're not alone. It's good to hear from you, Tone.
Yeah, you take care, Pat. I'll talk to you later, buddy.
I'm sure we'll talk lots over the next 6 months or so. So thank you, Tony. 403-240-4444. That's your phone number if you want to chat some hockey with us on a Wednesday night here on Flames Talk and your Flames Talk post-game show. Pat Steinberg with you, and now George with us. What's up, Georgie?
Not much, Patty. How are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good.
Good. Personally, Patty, I can't express how much Michael Stone has impressed me the last 3 years as a Flame. in a post-game show, you said it's an interesting dilemma they have for the sixth spot on defense with Shillington dealing with what he's dealing with. But for me right now, after four preseason games, it's not a dilemma at all. For me, Stone's in the opening night lineup. Through what I've seen, my power rankings for defensemen currently for that spot would be Stone a number one. I really like Milosz. Then I would go Mackey. And then maybe after that, it's a drop off. Like Valimaki, I know he's only played two preseason games. But
it's just a little early to be making like the power rankings now, because we've yet to see like the. I'm not saying that Stone hasn't played well or that it's more just. Let's wait to see those final three preseason games, how things go. Not even talking about Stone, just the rosters will be a whole lot better, and it'll be – it's just the – I'm not saying that these games aren't important for evaluating. I just don't know if I'm ready to say one way or the other that, yes, you're right, Stone must be in the opening day lineup based on – I don't know. Like, Mackey's been pretty good too. I think Mackey, in my opinion, has been the best of those guys. So if it were me and I was making that – well, Mackey's got to be in the opening day lineup, but I'm just not ready to say it because the final two, three preseason games are so important. Like that game in Winnipeg is going to be fascinating on October 5th.
I agree. Like I said, through four preseason games. Yeah. So you think you've liked Mackey better than Stone thus far?
Yes. And that's not a knock on Stone at all.
Okay. All right. I thought Mackey, to your credit, like I think Mackey's been good, but I've just liked Stone. I think it blows my mind the consistency of this guy's play for the amount of stuff he's gone through and being in and out of the lineup and then like the playoffs last year. And it's interesting because one of my first thoughts about Michael Stone is how did another team not give this guy a chance? And then, of course, it's being said now that it's more or less his decision wanting to stay in Calgary. And in my mind, it's like it has to be because I'm sure there's at least five or six teams that this guy could easily be a sixth defenseman on right now.
I'm sure if he chased it, he probably could have gotten some bites for contracts for sure. Definitely, I think other teams would have been on the PTO front. But, you know, when you're at his stage and kind of where he's at, I think that he's settled here in Calgary. There's interest on both sides. So it just makes sense. And I think if I were a betting man, I think he'll be a part of the Flames organization in some form or another this season.
I think so as well. I think worst case scenario, he's the perfect seventh D man. He has been this whole time. And I think he is. So I leave little doubt that he will sign with the Flames and that he will be in the organization one way or another. How many games he plays, I think, depends on circumstances, injuries, you know, other extenuating circumstances. But most definitely, I agree with you there. On the discussion on defensemen, man, I really liked Uyghur tonight, Patty. And I remember when the Tkachuk trade to Florida came down, I was absolutely stunned to see what Florida gave up for Tkachuk. And that's not a knock on Tkachuk. But as excited I was to get Huberto back, I was almost as excited to get Uyghur. I know a lot of people didn't know much about Uyghur, but, you know, I watched the playoffs. I watched every game of the Tampa-Florida series, and he was actually one of the few people on Florida that I liked in that series, even though they got swept. And I think Uyghur...
Well, most people say that's where he struggled the most, though, was in that series against Tampa.
The whole team struggled. I mean, Tampa wiped the floor with them, but I like them. I guess some people would say that, but I like them. But the bottom line is,
he's a good defenseman. He's a great defenseman, man. Like nobody's disputing that.
Like great defenseman. Like I almost feel like no one. Like I almost feel like people didn't talk enough about how amazing it was to get Uyghur. Huberto, obviously. Huberto's a top 10 player in the league, in my opinion. Like Huberto, obviously, right? No argument there. But I almost feel like Uyghur didn't get like enough love. Maybe it's me, but I am absolutely thrilled.
No, I think that's probably fair, and part of that is because Huberto also signed his $84 million contract, which I think, you know, instantly endears you to a group of fans where you commit 9 years of your hockey career to the team. So I think that's also part of it, too, is that Huberto signed the biggest contract in Flames history. And, you know, it just, I think that there's a little bit of that that's built into the excitement surrounding him. And he's coming off 115 points last year. He led the league in assists.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like, you can't understate how awesome and important, especially after the tumultuous summer we had, that he, you know, he made that decision to stick around here for, you know, 9 years, really. The contracted year he has this year, and then the eight which he chose to stay here. So, I mean, that's great, you know. It's awesome. Certainly heals some wounds of people that didn't want to be here, so that's great. Final one for you here, Patty, and I'll let you go. But I think it's great in a long time coming that we finally have our AHL team in Calgary. I know it probably wasn't a possibility for years before for a number of reasons, but I think it's going to be beneficial in so many different ways. And how many Wranglers games are you going to be able to kind of watch? I know you're going to be busy with the fan, the Sportsnet, but that's going to kind of make it easier for you to keep a tab on the prospects and rookies, et cetera, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've looked at the schedule. There's some ones that work, but there's a lot of they have by design put the Wranglers at home while the Flames are on the road and vice versa. So there's a few opportunities there, and I want to get to the, you know, if I can be pushing double digits in terms of Wranglers games, I'll be happy. Even if I can stay for a period or two, I'd really like to. So. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I've only ever seen, I think, two or three American League games in person, so I'm excited to see. It's a different brand of hockey. It's obviously not the NHL, but it's really good, and yeah, there's some players to keep an eye on from the Flames, too.
Yeah, for sure. Have you seen their jerseys yet, or do you, if you have, I don't need you to reveal what they are, but have you seen them, and if you have, do you like them?
I haven't actually. They're being really tight-lipped. I've seen some of the other gear, but I have not seen the jerseys.
Okay, I'm curious to see if they're just going to be the Flames jerseys with the Wranglers logo or what, but they are going to have the same color scheme, I know that much.
Yeah, I haven't seen them though.
Okay. All right, my man. It was awesome to talk to you, my friend. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Okay, George, be well. We'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Take care.
Phone lines are open on this Wednesday night following a Flames 4-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. This is your Flames Talk post-game show with Pat Steinberg. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Phone lines 403-240-4444. Text line 960-960. Lots more time to chat on the phone lines. Lots more time to read your texts. Right now, though, we've talked a lot about Michael Stone on the post-game show tonight, and for good reason. Goal and an assist, and he just continues to build his case. Let's hear from Michael Stone post-game following tonight's 4-0 win over the Oilers.
Just a thought on the game here tonight. Obviously lots of veterans in your lineup, but how did you guys think you managed it?
Pretty well. I think there's lots of little things that we can do better, but I thought it was, you know, it's game two for a lot of guys, so I thought it was good.
How are you managing this? This is not completely unfamiliar territory. How are you handling all of this, and what is your mindset as you continue to go through this once again?
This is not a new position for me, so I'm just here playing like I know how I can play, so that's pretty much it.
Does stress or any of that at this point sneak in, or is this...
I'm always stressed.
You don't hide it. I mean, no, you don't. You do hide it, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Is Mackenzie weaker?
At this point, it is what it is, so...
Yeah.
It's just the way I have to approach it, so...
And the approach is just continue to do what you've always done.
I think so. Be a good teammate. Play well when I get a chance to play, and... and make the most of it.
And then hammer one home.
Yeah, there you go.
Seems simple.
Yeah.
Is there anything you've worked on off the ice that you think has contributed to your longevity?
I mean, a few years ago, I had a lot of time off with the blood clot, so that stuff, nothing in particular. Just, I'm hanging on, really. Like, that's just what I'm trying to do.
Do we maybe need to remind ourselves that you're still only 32 years old?
Like, only 32, yeah.
I can say only because I'm 39, so cling to it while you can.
Yeah, I mean, you play as long as you can, right? So I like to stick around here, and I'd like to stay in this organization. So that's why I'm here.
Do you ever see yourself playing anywhere else?
I mean, if I haven't had a whole lot of that kind of opportunity, and when it's late and you got a 3 kids in school and everything going on, it's hard to do. So at this point, not really right now.
Yeah, you've made a lot of, set down a lot of roots here in Calgary, yeah. It seems like, over the last few years.
Not planning on going anywhere when I'm done playing, so.
Is there a wrinkle with it being a PTO this time as opposed to a contract that we normally see you sign in September?
To be honest, I haven't even really paid much attention to that. I just am, I feel like I'm here and I come to the rink every day like I always do, and that doesn't really matter. Hopefully things work out the way they're, I would like them to, and we'll see what happens.
There you go. That is Michael Stone. Goal and an assist, and he just continues to impress as he looks for a contract out of this training camp. He continues on a PTO. By the way, Michael Stone was our Alberta-made player of the game, brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery. He had a goal, 2 points, was +3, played 14:08, 4 shots, 7 attempts, 1 takeaway, 3 block shots. Pretty good preseason outing for Michael Stone this evening. Game we're focused on is the 4-0 Flames win over Edmonton here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. You hear Daryl Sutter live immediately following the game. We want to make sure we get it on the podcast part of it as well. Let's hear from head coach Daryl Sutter, who spoke following tonight's 4-0 win over Edmonton.
What did you think of what you saw out there tonight?
Good work. Sort of just a methodical type of game.
Nazem looked in his first time in game action.
Looked like it was his first game in quite a while.
Are you starting to see some chemistry on that top line with Huberto, Lindholm, and Toffoli?
I think they're going to have to play a lot of games before that happens.
What was the rationale? I don't know if you said anything this morning about putting Backlund on the wing. Just
I think just not just Michael and Blake to play with Naz tonight. Just to, those guys play the right way all the time. Doesn't really matter position.
What have been your impressions of Mackenzie Weegar so far?
I think he's a really good student of the game. He's a very coachable player. I think that he's learning how we play, things like that. And he's making strides. And he's a good player.
Skill set and do his strengths fit the way you guys want to play pretty well, do you think?
Yep, very well.
Jacob Markstrom, pretty good outing.
Yeah, that's good. Get him a couple periods, work him back in. Solid. I think he's worked really hard the whole camp. He's out early and stays late, puts a lot of work in.
Was it good to see Dustin Wolf sort of come into the third and get a little bit of work in?
Yeah, he's played. We've tried to play him lots. He played in Penticton and trying to get him in as many as we can.
Has anything kind of surprised you this camp, or are things progressing as expected?
Yeah, you know what? We're a weekend. It's 1 week. That's what I said. Remember, this talked about the 3 parts of it. So
we got. Might have come up for you or anyone who might have stepped up in a way that you might not have.
Oh, you mean personnel-wise?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, you know, there's no like a top pick or anything that's supposed to be jump out at you. I think there's still a lot of school for a lot of our young players.
Where are you hoping they pick up, those young players? Where are you hoping they learn during these weeks?
Hoping they what?
Where are you hoping they learn?
Hope's dangerous. They are learning.
Two games where you've had your veteran squads.
Yeah.
You haven't allowed a goal yet. I mean, that's symbolic of how
you know, we're just pretty much our, the older guys have played at home when you look at it. You know, I'm going to be very cautious of that for sure. So, you know, we're trying to put our structure in place, but at the same time, the individual's got to get a little selfish, put the work in.
Did you see some flashes from your power play, the first unit there?
You know, they had. I think the first one they was pretty much the whole 2 minutes in there. As they, you know, they're gonna have to because there's so many new guys that are gonna, you know, at the top end there that you know they're gonna have to just get a little bit more selfish in training camp, right, in terms of the shooting and not always looking and things like that.
Rasmus made a point of saying that he wants to shoot more. He wants to double his shots per game, basically. Do you agree with that assessment of him, and what do you expect out of him on the power play?
I think Rasmus is coming into his own. So, you know, we've talked to him since I came here about, you know, how much our defense has to shoot and more take advantage of that, the shot volume part and quality shot volume. So he'll get better at it for sure. Because he wants to.
For you, when does a defenseman hit his prime? Is it an age thing? Is it a games played thing?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Coached some really good ones, and they were good when they were 21, and they were good when they're calling me wanting to come back and play when they were in their 40s. So, some pretty good ones.
Bodies competing for that kind of depth defense role. Do you like what you've seen out of that competition so far?
We're trying to get our pairs figured out. It's not really depth. I think the depth is there, right? It's whether they're, is that here or is that in with their anglers? So I think we're trying to get our pairs until we get Tanny back. Then it's, you know, McKenzie's moved right and left. Z's had a really good camp right from the start, so he's pushing for play higher and play more, play situations. So I think it's performance. There's four or five guys. It'll be based on their performance over the next, starting the next part of the preseason.
Is that where you see Kadri playing in the middle of that power play, kind of?
You know, we gotta work on it. Right? Something when you're basically working on it in games, because just the way our practices or our game practice ratio has been, haven't been able to do much of it. So we'll just see how it filters out. I've got different ideas in my head, and we wanted to, you know, start with the four forwards and one D, but I also think that McKenzie and Ross could be on the back, could be really good too, and then figure out who the forwards were. So there's lots to work on, I think.
That is head coach Daryl Sutter post-game following tonight's 4-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. As we continue along in your Flames Talk post-game show, Steinberg with you. Last call for phone calls at 403-240-4444. Last call for texts at 960-960. A few more texts says, good evening, Pat. Do you think the Flames might trade a defenseman before the season starts? I don't think it's out of the question. I wouldn't. I don't think it's something that they need to do. I don't think that they are in such desperate need of another forward that they need to trade a defenseman at this stage. I understand the question. I do, and I understand the sentiment. And you know, just because I don't agree doesn't mean it's right or wrong. I just personally don't think that is something they need to do before the start of the regular season, is trade a blue liner and you know, try to fill that role. I think that you've got time. You've got two more weeks of preseason and training camp to figure out what your forward group might look like, how a Milano or a Phillips or a Pelche or a Ruzicka or anybody else, maybe they can push for a spot. Maybe it's somebody else we're not talking about. And then you've got the regular season to figure out exactly how things fit. And similar to last year when they acquired Toffoli, I don't think you need to do it now. You can wait to see how they're not having that one guy that they don't have necessarily or being perfectly ideal. I don't think is going to hold them back from being a good team this year. I still think they've got good enough players to be a really good team. And so you can evaluate, and then a little bit further into the season, I think you've got the opportunity to, if you need to, make that type of deal. That's my feel. I know that others disagree, and that's fine, but that's kind of where I stand on that question. This from Dave says, if Stone's this good playing part-time, can he be better playing full-time? And that's a really good question. And you know, I want, like, is he an everyday guy? Is every day the way to go? Or is the fact that he's not playing every game part of why the success has been so strong? I don't know the answer to that question because I think both are very valid, and I'd be curious to find out one way or the other. This says, if Michael Stone was a musician, he seems like the kind of guy who could easily tour across the country but's perfectly content hitting up random open mics around his town. I like that. And so there you go. That's a few texts at 960-960 as we roll on through your Flames Talk postgame show. Let's go back to the phone lines and welcome our boy Parsons for the first time this season. Pars is with us on Flames Talk postgame. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
How was your summer?
It was good, man.
You stay out of trouble?
Nope.
Okay.
But I did have a good summer.
Okay. I got a couple questions for you. Not so much pertaining to the game because it's just preseason stuff, and there's still three important games to go where we can kind of
four
shake through everything. But what's your take so far on the Uyghur contract situation? And is there a holdup for a reason, or do you think that we're kind of holding back to because there's other things in play?
No, I don't think that, because he's signed for this year, so I don't think that there's any holding back. Personally, I think, and this is not me being flippant, but like I said, I think it comes down to money and term, which is just the most ridiculous statement. That's Tree's always tongue in cheek. Well, you know, the big holdups are how long and how much. I think that it's just there's a lot that goes into it. I think that there's, because you're probably talking about a 6 to 8 year deal in this case. There's a lot of wrangling about how much an extra year here, how much a premium would be to go six, how much of a discount you might get to go seven or eight. And I also, right. I wonder about the signing bonus situation. Jonathan Huberdeau, the vast majority of his contract is signing bonus money. So I wonder how much that plays into the conversation right now. So those are my guesses as to what's going on, Parse.
Okay.
And like, look, everything that I'm told, everything that I understand is that Uyghur wants to sign, and their camp is focused on getting a deal done. Same with the Flames. They want to get this done. I think the desire is high. Like, the desire is there. Both sides want to get this done. It's not done 2 weeks from the regular season. And we've heard that, you know, the ask would be, let's get it done now before the regular season starts. Once the regular season starts, let's try to not make a distraction, all that type of stuff. I think it's going to get done. When you've got two sides that are that dialed in on it, it's not even like the Johnny situation, which was kind of like, as soon as the regular season started, it was kind of like, well, let's wait and see. Like, I fully believe both sides want to get this done, so we'll see. And, you know, it almost happened with Johnny, and it didn't. I can't see the Flames going to a trade deadline and allowing something like that to happen again. But I do think this is going to get done.
Okay, yeah. Because once I heard those words that, you know, they didn't really want to talk about it during the season, I'm like, oh, here we go again, right?
But you know what else? Like, that's great, but it's not like Brad Treliving and Louis Gross never talked during the season last year. They were checking in all the time.
For sure.
Like, an agent can do a lot of stuff in the background and then be like, oh, hey, I've been talking to Tree. We've got this. Are you well? Okay. Like, it's a nice deadline to put on things, but I don't think it's make or break.
Okay, so what have you made of that, like, besides Stone, what have you made of the PTO so far in regards to Milano and Eakin? Like on a personal level, I'll just say my thing first. Like, I'm not sure I'm overly impressed, and is it worth to wait for the waivers coming up?
What do you mean? Like, you're saying, is it worth it? Like, are you saying that maybe they wait to see what happens, like, who pops onto waivers, and then try to claim somebody?
Yeah, potentially, because there could be a lot of maybe you know, interesting names that come out of that. But, like, I guess first your feedback on those two so far.
They've been okay. I've liked them both at different times. And you know, I thought Tuesday night in Seattle, I thought Eakin had some decent stretches killing penalties. They had the one penalty killing shift I really liked. You know, 5-on-5 hasn't been a ton that I've seen from Eakin that I would be writing home about. But yeah, I think he's been okay at times. I think that Milano has been, especially offensively, he's been really good at different times. So I haven't disliked them necessarily, but neither guy has really jumped off the page to me either, right? So, yeah. And I think that's what you'd like to see if you're the Flames as you determine whether or not you're going to sign these guys to deals.
Milano has a glorious mane. I'll give him that.
It is a good, it is a really good head of hair.
All right.
Good salad, as Lou would say.
But I don't see any of our prospects making the jump this year, buddy. Like Pelche's RA, Dewar, Phillips. I don't know. I'm not feeling it on any of these guys, which is fine. But yeah, I don't know. Pelche, especially, I don't think he's ready. Same with actually Zary, all of these guys. Phillips, I really feel for. He's been in the system for quite some time. I'd love to see him get a shot, but I just don't know if he fits the construct of, I don't know, like maybe
is it just because biased. Is it just because he's small?
I think so, right? Right?
And I mean, I don't think that Daryl Sutter is like, well, no, if you're tiny, you can't. If you can generate shots, if you can play good away from the puck, he'll, like, Johnny Gaudreau had 115 points. He's not that much bigger than Matthew Phillips is. Mm-hmm. Now, they're different players. I'm not trying to suggest that they're, you know, they're comparable players. All I'm saying is that just because you're a little smaller, and in Matthew's case, a lot smaller, like, he's a very slight guy. There's no doubt about it. I just don't think it necessarily means that he can't. I've enjoyed what I've seen from him so far this camp. Now, in saying that, I don't think that he's going to be on the opening day roster. But I do think that he's trying to jockey himself for recall position once we, mm-hmm. you know, once we get into the regular season and at some point, potentially, if injuries happen.
Do you think he'll ever make it, though, Pat? Like, honestly.
I don't know. If he doesn't, he's already far exceeded what he ever should have done by being right. A high-end American leaguer and a guy who's kind of in the quad A NHL, like tweener NHL, AHL type area. Like, he's already exceeded what 99% of sixth round picks do.
Like, what more can you ask from the guy, right?
Do I think I think there's a chance that whether it's in this organization or elsewhere, yeah, I still think there's a chance. I'd, you know, probably put it less than 50-50, but I'm rooting for the guy.
Yeah. All right, brother. Well, next three games, I've watched everything so far, so everything's been pretty cool to watch. Next three games should be interesting and telling, and as we tighten it up. And, yeah, man, I look forward to the season.
All right, Pars. Be well, buddy.
You too, brother.
Thanks, man. That'll wrap us up on the phone lines and the text line on your Flames Talk post-game show this evening. One more check-in from the locker room. How about Mackenzie Weegar? Really impressed. Named number 3 star in this game tonight. Scores a goal. Mackenzie Weegar really, really impressing a lot of people. Again, he's a veteran. We all have high expectations for him coming into this year, but also had a really good preseason game in this win over Edmonton. Let's hear from Mackenzie post-game following a 4-0 win.
The D-Core has been great, just communicating with me. Husk has been great, kind of teaching me some of the new systems, and chemistry kind of just built on its own, through, more play, more games, and just over time. I think that'll come, so, that's what the exhibition games are for, to build on that.
Daryl was talking, he's quite complimentary about you and your game really complement the systems that he's trying to implement, picking it up. And I just wonder now what that dialogue is like with the coach and how you feel about trying to give him what he needs, still playing your game?
Yeah, I think as a player, you want to succeed at all the systems that the coaches give, and you know, playing the right way through the system. And you know, I think that's nice for him to say and stuff like that, but I'm working hard for my teammates, and I just want to, you know, like I said to you guys before, I want to always do well for my teammates and keep getting better. And I'm happy that he thinks that I compliment his style of play well, and I just want to play hard and compete hard every night.
Does it come somewhat natural? You're a veteran in this league, but to come into this system, this new approach, is it kind of coming along as quick as you would hope?
Yeah, I think there's still a few things I need to work on for sure. You know, with my gaps or, you know, PK systems, even power play, things are still a little rusty. But, yeah, I think maybe with a little experience, I can kind of jump into those situations a little quicker. And that's what I'm hoping to do, and just learning all the systems as well as I can and as quick as I can.
Mackenzie, what about the strengths of your game do you think make you a good fit for the way they want to play here?
You know, I like to play with a lot of pace, you know, playing hard in the D zone, trying to kill plays fast, and then trying to get up in the play. And, you know, I think they like tight gaps, good sticks, you know, denying entries, you know, all those little things probably, you know, fit well with the system.
That is Mackenzie Weegar postgame following his goal and helping the Flames. Really strong game for him, helping the Flames to a 4-0 win over the Edmonton Oilers. Time for the final summary of this preseason game. No scoring in the first period. Flames open the scoring at 6:56 of period number two as Brett Sutter shovels home a rebound for his second of the preseason. Sutter from Michael Backlund and Michael Stone at 6:56 made it 1-0. Less than 10 minutes later, Michael Stone on the scoreboard again, this time with an absolute rocket of a slap shot to make it 2-0, his second of the preseason. Sutter and Ilya Solovyov with the assist at 16:36. 2-0 Flames after 40 minutes of play. They had two more in the third period, both in the final 4 minutes or so. The aforementioned Mackenzie Weegar makes it 3-0 at 16:23 of the third, his first of the preseason. Nazem Kadri in his preseason debut with the Flames, and Solovyov the assist at 16:23, and then Jonathan Huberdeau seals it into the empty net at 19:57. Huberdeau's second of the preseason from Tyler Toffoli gets us to our 4-0 final score. Final shots, 34-21 Flames. Calgary 0-for-3 on the power play. Edmonton 0-for-3 on the power play tonight. Three stars tonight. Number 3, Mackenzie Weegar. Number 2, Brett Sutter. And number 1, Michael Stone. Flames improved to 3-1-0 this preseason. Oilers dropped to 1-2-0 in the preseason. These two teams meet again on Friday at Rogers Place in Edmonton. That is the final summary, and that starts to wrap us up on our Flames Talk post-game show. For everybody involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our on-site engineers, Evan Cody and Tim Khalil, and for our outstanding producers, Aaron Howell and Azam Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk postgame show is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Next up for the Flames, Friday night, it is a 7 o'clock face-off in Edmonton, which means a 6 o'clock Flames warm-up right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Have a wonderful rest of your Wednesday night. Final score in preseason game number 4, Flames 4, Oilers nothing. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, and this has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.